Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to my man baggage. It is overflowing with insight, and allow me to milk the shaft of conversation and empty that man baggage into your ears. Every week we come back with traits, some of which are disappointingly binary, some of which are disappointingly non-binary, because let's face it, getting angry and binary reaction drives traffic on the internet. So the more binary and reactionary you can be, please subscribe. We started in an area of what's wrong with men, what's going wrong with men. Sadly, it's a chat that's becoming more and more and more freaking relevant with every horrible headline I click on. We're not getting to the bottom of what's going wrong with men's brains, but we are having some fun trying to work out what it is that they're doing different to everyone else. Are they? Are men different to women in some areas? And where they are, why? Is it conditioning? Is it the patriarchy? Is it that men are basically a pump on a stick and there isn't much other hardware going on? I like it. Stick goes funny. Stick down. End of day. Is that more or less the complete manual? So, yes, we started it in a sort of let's all have a hug in a circle and have our digestive biscuits and coffee male mental health area. But I've realised very quickly some men need humour to have serious discussions. And, you know, without giving any details away, again this week, two messages which were hard to get through. They were so unbelievably... Well, the content people were confiding in me that they'd not confided in other people via a DM on Instagram, I can only assume we're doing the right thing here. And that humour does unlock things in certain types of men that are not being unlocked elsewhere. And so talking of unlocking, I want to move on to a subject today which is so divisive. Whether it's gender divisive, I don't know. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. And what a panel I have. Two stubbornly brilliant people. Someone who I just keep stalking and using on everything I do. Johnny Cochran is in the house. I'm going to go into his head and his man baggage and emptying it. If I haven't got him trying to be an expert on subjects on Radio 4, I've got him on here being grilled about the patriarchy. Johnny, how are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. And yeah, I've taken it as a compliment that you've got me on for a stubbornness episode. you know, I don't know if that's what I radiate from my character. But yeah, no, I've been accused of being stubborn in the past. So hopefully I can illuminate our audience today with different views on stubbornness.
And it's something you would always stubbornly deny as well, being stubborn, ironically. And we could just make this with three blokes sat round all talking about their feelings, and I'm sure it would still be interesting, but it wouldn't explain the high degree of female listenership we have. In fact, it's creeping up to like 65, 35. Gentlemen, please subscribe. I can only assume it's girls wanting to know how the man brain works, tuning in for the secrets. So we always have a strong auditor in the building to make sure we're not drifting into sexist stereotypes or stuff that's just way off. And I've got one of a force of nature here today. Last time I worked with her, managed to sneak a picture of her vagina onto live TV at lunchtime.
No, it was a dick.
It was a dick, sorry. I mean, sorry, Grace Campbell, for getting the genital that you put in lunchtime telly.
Yeah, it's important, Russell.
I've been reading, like, you did something with your vagina recently, didn't you? Didn't you put a sculpture of it and stick it on the wall and make your dad look at it or something like that?
No, my ex-boyfriend made, when we first got together, he made me a pot of my vagina, like went to a pottery class and made
it. That's
it.
That's
and
great.
I made the whole family have a look.
That's it. I knew there was something in the trauma part of my brain to do with your vagina being... I just muddled it up with the dick that was on air while my earpiece was melting from the gallery going, don't talk to Grace anymore.
I think I'm in that part of that trauma now. Please tell me more, Grace. I mean, how did he get the, you know, the dimensions, that's if quite, you like, for sculpting?
How did he take the mould? Just say it, John.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
how
what?
Did he take the mould?
Firstly, he did it from memory, but, like, he did not do it justice.
So if a man, hold on a second, just to be clear, Grace, if a man is sculpting your vagina from memory, he's spending quite a long time down there.
Can
you not blow your biscuits a little bit quicker?
He hadn't spent enough time down there because it was not accurate. It's much better in the flesh.
Honestly, some of the sessions I could already describe in binary code, they've gone on for so long. Please, God, my neck. I've still got osteoporosis from an ex 5 years ago. Right, we're talking about stubbornness. So I'll try and define stubbornness for you. In fact, I've got a sort of dictionary definition here. Having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments or reasons to do so. This is the key thing, a determination not to change. So stubborn is the confirmation of a negative, if you like. So we'll move on to different types of stubbornness, but I'm going to have to ask you off the bat, Grace Campbell, are men more stubborn than women in your opinion, or is it a non-binary subject?
I really don't associate stubbornness with gender at all, because I would say I'm the most stubborn person in my world and my life. And then my best friend, who's a gay guy, is the second most stubborn person I know. We're both Tauruses, and I think it's so down to personality. And I remember last time I did your podcast, like, all of my references with men are men I've been in relationships with. Some boyfriends I've had have been so easy to sort of mold around me or what I want to do. And then other people just absolutely can't do that. I think that's down to their personalities.
Mm. But what about how the world perceives stubbornness? You know, if we get a brother and sister equally stubborn with the same temperaments, are the world going to perceive them differently?
You know, it's a great question. And like Grace, I don't think it's necessarily gender specific stubbornness. I think it's certainly, I could tell you, you know, a female example of someone as stubborn as the most stubborn male example I might give you. But the issue, what I would say is, I think that society encourages men to be stubborn. That's what I would say about it. I think that being headstrong and driven and all of these characteristics that we would like to encourage men to be in the example of what a strong man is perceived to be is something that, you know, is often, as I say, it's a badge of honour for men, whereas with women, being too stubborn can often, certainly in society's eye, be something like, oh, what, you're not really amenable here. You're not really malleable enough to fit round, you know, all of the constraints that society will need you to do and ultimately serve men within the patriarchy. So I definitely think that one way or another, men are encouraged to be more, if not encouraged, they're allowed to be more stubborn, starting from a very, you know, young age when I've got my toddler son and it's, oh, yeah, he's just headstrong, he's boyish, he's a bit of a lad, he knows what he wants and that. Whereas a girl, hey, listen, come on, love, calm it down. I don't say this, I haven't got a daughter, so don't before you accuse me of anything. But so, you know, in general, I think it's something that is at least accepted more within men, if not encouraged.
What sort of things are you stubborn about, Grace?
Well, I just want to quickly say, like, I actually think being really stubborn is a bad character trait. Like, I think there's a fine line. I think as I've gotten older, I'm 27 now, I used to be unnecessarily stubborn and wouldn't, like, reflect on my own behaviour and would never stop and be like, okay, you're saying I do this repeatedly. Maybe I should actually try and change. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a fine line. I'm very particular with what I want and how I want things to go. And then if they don't always go my way, like people I've been in relationships with always say, it's like, you think the world sort of revolves around you. I don't think that's a good characteristic trait. I don't brag about that. It's just like, that's how I've ended up to be and I'm trying to work on it. It's not actually healthy or productive. So coming back to like men, like I agree, like it's definitely something that's more used against women. But even I think it's a bit sad that like men are celebrated for being really stubborn, because that's a bit sad, because I don't think that's the best way to be.
Grace, are you particularly stubborn about pottery? dimensions of genitalia.
Take it back and make the clip bigger. That is very unrealistic.
It's a shambles. I want another bowl now.
I want another fistful of clay.
It was too pink. I was like, it's not that pink.
Not yet, it ain't. just about getting away with that in 20. If you're listening to this in 2024, quite right to cancel me. That has aged very badly. So permission to 2024 to cancel me. No, but what are you stubborn about? Come on, Grace.
Okay, but what is stubbornness? Because I'm saying, like, specifically, yeah, if somebody doesn't, like, do what I want them to do, or, like, see me when I want them to see me, or, like, wear what, like, no, that sounds really bad, but, like, I used to be really, like, very difficult with my ex-boyfriend. I'd be like, what are you going to wear to my show tonight? And he'd be like, I don't know, I'm going to wear an outfit. And I'd be like, I want to know what you're going to wear. Like, I want to, like, bet your outfit. Yeah, this was when I was younger. This is what I'm saying. I'm trying to grow up.
Grace Bundy. Dress pretty for me, Prince, or I'll hurt you.
Back into the cellar.
Yeah, I'm just levelling out the playing field, you know. It's not just men that are like this. Not just men are, like, crazy, controlling boyfriends.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, stubbornness, like I said, it's a determination not to change one's attitudes. I mean, not to apologise is quite... we've done apologies before, but, you know, admit you're wrong. Well, I'm not wrong, though. We you know, it's a valid route. It wasn't that we turned a left, it should have been a right. No, stubborn fucker.
Yeah, I mean, I think broadly, you know, you're talking about the ability to understand that you're not always right. And the way that you see things, there may be more than one way to... you know, perceive a situation and ultimately be able to climb down from that. Because the one thing I would say is I am quite headstrong. I mean, a lot of the people, even in our industry, a lot of the people are going to be headstrong because, you know, there are some exceptions to that rule. But largely, you know, if you're not kind of driven and headstrong in the sense that, you know, you believe in yourself and what you want to do, it's a hard game to be in. Mm. But I do also try to marry that with an ability to try to see things from someone else's perspective and also know that things aren't as black and white as they always seem, you know, and there can be just two people can be right, you know, and just see things in different ways. And I think that sometimes, you know, stubborn people in general, but again, to come back to the kind of gender roles around it, I think men are encouraged to double down on their way of seeing things, particularly when we look at what this notion of being a strong man and someone who is capable of leading a household, which we clearly know, you know, are still ideas that permeate different, you know, areas of society and different males. That idea is that if you go back on the way that you see things, you're somehow capitulating. It's not seen as a strength to be able to climb down on how you originally saw it and show an adaptability, which actually means that you are, you know, a stronger character if you can take other people's views on board and change as you go.
Grace, did you ever do the silent treatment as a way of doing stubbornness, or are you always, like, I'm Mr. Verbal, just non-stop talk, wall of noise, Phil Spector, without the sex abuse?
I'm trying to be better at the silent treatment because historically my way of dealing with any kind of conflict is like sending like 500 messages and like overwhelming people with my opinions. Same. In the That's hope it. That they'll like change their mind when mm-hmm. it's clear that they're not going to change their mind and I'm just pissing them off and making them not want to talk to me. So that's something I'm trying to do at the moment, is just be able to be like, you know what, they don't agree with me right now. Because what you're saying is very true. It's like we all have different perspectives all the time, and stubbornness is essentially refusing to see things from other people's perspectives, and I have famously not been very good at that in my life. So like, that's something that I am really trying to do at the moment, is to be able to stop and be like, maybe they're just thinking that this is a different situation to what I think it is. Maybe I need to just walk away right now and calm down.
That's the growth mindset, babe.
Thanks.
I mean, I must have recommended this book 100 times on this bloody podcast. It's called Black Box Thinking by Matthew Saïd. And it's all about the industries that are most successful are the ones that have the best black boxes. Obviously, airlines actually have black boxes. And what happens is every time a plane crashes, every bit of information about that mistake is taken out of that black box and fed back into the industry. Very rarely are those mistakes repeated. An industry with no black box, like a hospital and surgeons, where everyone's like, oh my God, he was tired, let's cover it, and covers everyone's asses. People die on the table, mistakes are made all the time. The more you can bring black box thinking into your life, oh my God, I crashed, we had an argument, I didn't take the bins out, it was my turn, and unpack that black box and actually look at what went wrong on the runway during takeoff and during flight, the more you will grow, ladies and gentlemen. Simple as that.
Let's just turn this into my therapy session really quickly.
Let's do it.
Because I see that, like when it happens, I'm like, if I hadn't done this, this conflict wouldn't have happened and then this wouldn't have happened, right? But what I am bad at is that turning into muscle memory in my brain. Mm-hmm. So like later on, weeks, months, the same thing will happen. And I haven't recalled in that moment that I already know deep down that reacting in the way I'm about to react will not be productive.
And it's also particularly difficult if you're having an emotional reaction, because an emotional reaction sort of bubbles up like magma in your throat before the brain has gone, hang on, like the bouncers have just temporarily turned away. And a couple of yobs have run into the nightclub of your mind. So that's one thing that might be happening. I've definitely suffered with that when I was younger, before I went on my journey. This sort of...
Thailand?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting
the emotional and the intellectual to speak to each other. So I actually separate them out. Like, what is this issue here? Am I slamming a door when I can't find my car keys because I've forgotten my learnings from last time, like you're saying? Or am I failing to realize an emotional reaction is happening? And then you need to leverage the intellectual part of your brain to talk to that and get processes in place that catch it as it's happening. You can't just go, oh yeah, yeah, I stormed out and slammed a door there because I couldn't find my car keys. You've got to go, right, so next time I feel that magma welling up in my chest, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down and count 10. I'm going to rub my ear off. But just to have the dialogue starting with yourself. Johnny, are you a silent treatment?
Well, kind of, a little bit. But I don't necessarily, because, you know, you've painted it quite well there between, you know, the battle, the square off between the emotions and the intellect, if you like. But in my marriage, the way it's worked, and I think the reason why we're still sane at this stage through a lockdown and a young child, is when we did a bit of travelling, also in Southeast Asia, and we were actually in Vietnam finding ourselves. And and basically, we met this old couple. And there's this guy that looked like Bill Gates, and he was out there. And
was he vaccinating everyone by any chance?
Basically, he was on his tablet just controlling people in Stoke who'd been double jabbed. It was a Microsoft tablet, of course. But he basically was like, we were sitting down and we had to have this communal meal. And I said, they were advertising like those sanctimonious old couples do. We've been married for 50 years. It's like, oh, like, get a grip. You know what I mean? But ultimately, I said, right, okay. I don't actually mean that. I said, you know, give me the reason why you've been married so long. What happened? And he said, the key to a long marriage is not staying mad at each other. And basically, my wife and I both saw that. We had an independent arbitrator to give us those rules, a person with success in this field.
Can I ask a question? Before that, did you stay mad for too long?
I would have, yeah. I had a predisposition to do it a bit more, for sure. But between us, because what I guess I'm saying is, it doesn't really matter what the rule is. If you agree as a couple, whether, you know, it's an arbitrary rule, but we both saw that guy tell us from a place of success that the key is to not stay mad for too long. So sometimes when we have a row, and even when I'm like, she is doing my head in, really annoyed me, blah, 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 sometimes my wife will come down and go, remember what Bill Gates said? You know, and not vaccine stuff, not vaccines,
malaria nets. No, on our wedding, Lindsay's dad in his speech said, just don't go to sleep in an argument. So try and resolve it before you go to sleep. Mm. It's almost
good
impossible.
Advice. Like, that is good advice.
That is impossible, though, isn't it? When you want to punch each other's faces in on the pillow, and you're like, and I just fall asleep, and the seething argument just seeps into my body. But something magical happens overnight, really. A good night's sleep. Hold on a second. Let me give you a few more examples just to try and work out how you both work, and then we'll move on to other stuff. Food choice. It's a sharing platter. We go to a restaurant, Grace. It's an established relationship, so you're not trying to impress the boyfriend. You know, it's up and running, and it's a sharing platter, and he doesn't eat certain things, and you don't eat certain things. How stubborn are you on stuff like
that? Well, actually, I've been thinking about this recently, because, like, when I got with my ex-boyfriend, one of the things that used to fucking piss me off was that he didn't like sweet potato. Sweet potato is, like, foundation food for me, because I'm a vegetarian. And we used to have so many arguments about it, but I always moved over on that. I would never make him eat sweet potato. I'm very specific about what alcohol I drink. Food, literally, every meal I've had, the best meal I've ever had will always be my last meal. Like, I don't give a fuck about food. It's like, whatever. Like, I'll eat it to, like, not get too fucked and throw it
up. I'm going to guess it's sweet potato.
Well, I love it. It's always the last meal. If it was a meal deal from Sainsbury's, it's the best meal I had. Same with, like, best sex I've ever had. It's the most recent orgasm I've had. But with alcohol...
I did wonder why you were late for the Zoo.
Because you were late, Russell.
I know. My orgasm was also great. Thank you.
Alcohol and where I sit, as in spatially, if I go into a restaurant and I don't like where the table is, I have really an issue with it. Like, I have to move. I'm very specific with where I sit, and I will kick up a bit of a fuss on that, but...
You're into your feng shui, are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very... I have to have my back facing a wall. I like to be able to see all exits. I like to be able to see people coming in and out. You
must love aeroplanes, then.
Well, and, you know, book ahead. Choose your seat.
Johnny, it's not your turn to take the bins out. You did it last time. And yet, she's like, come on, mate, just do it. Please. Please, I'm knackered. Would you be like, it's not the point, it's your turn?
No, there is no turns with bins. It's always my turn. That's the role in our house of traditional gender roles where it does kick in,
good.
Where it's just almost assumed that the man is taking out the bins. This is what I used to say. Like, you know, I brought this up before. No wonder why men die younger. We're always doing the unsanitary shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, when the bin juice is running and stuff, my wife won't go anything near it. She piles up shit on top of the bin like it's Jenga and then just lets me deal with the rest
bin
of it.
Jenga.
You know what I mean?
I hate bin Jenga.
It's the last thing you need. But when you brought up the subject of food, and this does get me going a bit, right? Because when you're talking about sharing platters and things like that, my wife, I mean, she knows who I am now. She chose to marry me. This is who I am, okay? If I've opened a pack of crisps, don't ask me for one. There is no one, okay? It's my pack of crisps. I want to eat that pack of crisps. If I'm ordering a curry, you're not having any of that curry.
You're not a
sharer.
That's
just not... There is no sharing.
What about a naan dipped in your sauce to try it? Feels fair.
I have it, and I'm pleased that you're now entertaining the visual platform of this thing, so the listeners or the viewers can actually see my face, because I will let that happen, but this is my face. Yeah, go on, do it.
Really? Like, sauce dip's only fair. Come on.
So I think. No, I mean, I'll do it, but begrudgingly.
Okay, that is the end of part one. I was going to go through in one go, but my producer's quite stubborn, so we're going to take a break here.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.